Hey, Scope listeners, this is Jared. I just want to call your attention to a little boo-boo with the show. See, here's the thing. I'm up late, laundry's in the background, fixing the show. Because for three quarters of it, I didn't have the sound effects and the music and the other whatnot patched in to record. So, I'm going back and I'm fixing it the best I can. Now, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to hear us reacting to sounds that you're not going to hear. And you're going to hear me clicking away, furiously making magic happen that nobody's going to hear because it's gone, because I didn't record it. So, anyway, enjoy the show for what it is. You know, after the song, everything is fine and dandy, and it's the show as normal. So, feel free to write in with your scathing comments. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with a deep appreciation for plaid. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we talk about Star Trek, we review Star Trek, and Earl stops by to help us with our Star Trek fanfic. Basically, we act like big nerds for 90 minutes. Come join the fun.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Just a scant 2 weeks later, and the Scope is back on the attack. This
Been 2 weeks already?
2 weeks. Episode 72. Your show will come to you in three parts. Part one, we'll get to know each other. We'll introduce our special guest host. We will talk about things. Part two, all Star Trek. We'll talk about Star Trek. We will review Star Trek.
Will we introduce Star Trek?
We'll introduce Star Trek. Okay. And part C is under the Scope.
Parts one, two, and C. Awesome.
So, yes, we've got a special guest. As Jared teased, Earl is back in the studio. People are begging
everybody,
for his appearance.
Well, thank you.
Earl is waving to the cinder block walls. Like,
don't you hear the audience, man?
I do hear them.
Can't see them.
Earl can see them, though.
You can tell by the sound of Earl's voice that there is an absence of another voice. That would be Adam.
Oops, I meant to hit the booing.
The crowd loves it when Adam's not here. Oh, it's actually sad. Rebellion.
I'm here.
Or is it funny? We don't know.
Adam's off doing his thing. We wish him the best. We hope that he will be back on the next episode.
I'm getting ready to do the Ram Jam, Shane.
All right. Jared just watched The Wrestler, and he's very, very intrigued. So I've got a lot of stories to tell. Let's get right into it, Earl. We're not going to go through this whole formalities.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to.
You know, people know who you are.
You know who I am.
He's here by request.
I'm looking at my notes, and the topic for my first story is called Shane Sees Dead People. Earl, I don't know if you heard about this, but I might have had the most intriguing story of the past 7 days. Mm-hmm. I was driving into work the other day, and I work in the warehouse district of downtown Minneapolis, which, for those people that don't know, is not in the heart of the city center. It's kind of off to the side. I don't know why they call it the warehouse district, other than there's probably a lot of warehouse buildings
there.
You're
on the edge of it.
I'm in the edge of town. So
all you have to say is you're a block away from Sex World.
I am the block away from the biggest sex
porn shop
in all of Minnesota. So I'm driving where I park. I don't actually park in the main ramp, and the parking ramps are kind of interconnected, and they lead to the Target Center. I park in a ramp that is down below behind these parking, not in a ramp, it's just a parking lot, really, down behind these parking ramps. And it's cheaper, Earl.
Yes, it is. Pretty good
access to everything I need. And it's actually right next door to the new Twin Stadium that's being built. So I park down by all the construction people that that are working on both the light rail addition and then the new Twins Stadium.
Do they whistle at you when you walk by?
They don't. I think they don't really like me. I don't know why, just because I get in the way of their big trucks there.
Big trucks.
But I'm driving down, and it's kind of down. You go in to get into this parking. Thank you, Jared. That's what that sounds like. Steel milling.
I've tried to create a soundscape.
Yeah,
Shane.
I want nothing but soundscape.
We're here.
That makes our show.
I wish people could see this, because Shane and I are here now, and he's showing me the site.
Earl and I are driving down. It's about 7:30 a.m., and the parking lot is, you kind of go down a hill behind these buildings. Yep, Earl's right there. He's looking at the passenger side.
Amazing.
As I'm getting a little closer, I'm noticing all of these police cars all over the place. And there they are.
Wow, I can't believe that happened.
Very good. It's like Jared planned it. As I'm getting a little bit closer to my parking lot space, I get there so early, Earl, that that I pretty much have the same spot every day.
Right.
I notice that there's police tape.
Police tape.
Right around the parking lot. And I'm thinking, what the bleep is going on? Where am I going to park? And then as, you know, I'm driving past that part of the lot, I'm thinking I'm going to hit the back part, the back lot.
Right. I see it over there.
As I drive, I see in the middle of the lot a dead body laying.
Jeez. Oh, no.
One spot over from where I park. And all these police people are taking pictures. They've got the overhead pass. They're taking pictures.
Man.
I see the little like evidence markers that you'd see on CSI, you know, just right there. So I don't know what's going on, but I immediately totally creeped out. I've never actually seen a dead body in my life. And it was looked like a gentleman, you know, covered in a sheet, the feet sticking up, mm-hmm. you know, just very, very creepy. And so I find a spot to park in this lot a little bit down the way. But as I'm getting out of my car, there's really nothing between me and the body except some police tape. And
Did you trip over the body getting out of the car? And then
50 yards. So it's like if I'm looking at you, Earl, you're the body. And then I can see the police, you know, another 50 yards. They're taking pictures.
And they let you park that close.
Yeah. They let me park that close. Nobody
tripped over the body.
Nobody said a word to me. So as I'm walking, you know, it's just silent. They're snapping photos, and it's just me and this body. And
you posed with it.
And I went over there. I said, "Hey, body, no one's ever going to believe this." So
yeah, you need a picture. You got to say, "Can you get a picture of me with it? Nobody's going to believe
me." Sure. Come on, yeah, guys. We'll you know, here's my email. Just set it up on my my Flickr account.
Port. Here, click it onto my port.
Awesome. Put it on my USB port.
Yeah. Here's my BlackBerry.
Earl's looking for a USB port, everybody, to transfer some stuff, by the way.
Stuff.
Anyway, so long story longer. I get up to my office, and I'm telling everybody, and it's a great story to tell. You know, there's a dead body. I can point out my window to these people, say, "Look, there's a cop right there. There's a police. You can see the police line right from our window."
Let me guess, when you went back down, it was all gone like it never happened.
Well, it was, but you know, during the day I was trying to find out what was going on, and interestingly enough, our local paper, the Strib, did not even report on this. The only place that got any coverage was one local television station. Mm-hmm. And from what they know, it was a homeless person, but beyond that, you know, they were investigating what the causes were, whether it was natural or foul play. But
so it wasn't like a big pool of blood or anything like
that. I'll get to that in a second. Oh, okay. So we I make it through the day, get down there, and it's gone. I mean, they had everything cleaned up, the cars were parked in that area, so I don't know if homeless people just don't warrant a lot of investigation, but I kind of walk over to the spot, and yes, there's a pool of blood. And I kind of park under a bridge, so you know, we've had rain the last few days. That blood is there, still there. It was there Friday. Very gross, and gross maybe isn't the best word, but disturbing that there's this body.
Honestly, that's a biological hazard. Your wife could tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Very, very creepy. So that's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. Any of you guys ever run across the seedier side of life?
One of my birthdays, I was with Mike Craven. I was drunk. We were leaving First Ave, and as we were going up an escalator to get to the parking ramp, there was a dead body down there, but it looked like it was foul play. But I was drunk, so I was like, "Oh!"
So it might not have been a body.
No,
it could have been like a kitten or something.
It was a dead dude.
Really? So did you call the police?
No, there was already cops there.
Oh, okay.
Like a cop standing by the body. But I mean, it was covered.
So being drunk, you didn't maybe have the emotional impact.
I didn't have the manners I probably should have had.
Okay, it's a body. Let me whip up my schlong and piss on it.
No, I'm drunk. No, I think I said, "Holy shit, that guy's dead."
Wow.
And Mike's like, "That's right, let's keep going."
Yeah, Mike's like, "You know where I was at, right?"
Mike was on it. Mike was on it.
Mike was looking for alibis immediately.
No, Mike was on it. He covered up, and here I am today.
Well, congratulations, Earl, for making it through that tumultuous time in your life. Jared, you're a pretty straightforward fellow. Nothing, you've never found any dead bodies?
I never found any dead bodies, never had a Stand By Me moment. I don't know. I mean, the worst thing that's ever, I guess in recent memory, was there was, last weekend, there was a murder in our town, which was, I didn't actually see the body, but it was a little freaky.
Not that far from us.
No, very close, in fact.
Are you talking the Wentworth?
Yeah,
no, well, there was that one. That was years ago when I was out of town in Des Moines.
Yeah, that's
right.
Oh, yeah, that's a good story.
Well, okay, I'll tell it.
Tell it.
I was in Des Moines for Lollapalooza, because Metallica and Soundgarden were playing.
That doesn't age you one bit.
No, that was back in the 90s. So that was, you know, good times. Sunday morning, we're in Rochester on the way back, stopping for breakfast. And I grabbed the local paper and read that there was a murder in the area. That at the time I lived, did I live with you, Earl?
We were all partners because I remember.
We live in this townhouse complex, and there's an east side and a west side. Yep. They're just on either side of the street, and we lived in west. the east, and the murder was in the west. Yeah. It was a triple murder, and apparently it was like an execution style. It was like very freaky to read about.
Wasn't a random thing. It was planned, precipitated.
A boyfriend was trying to find his girlfriend because he was all pissed at her and went to the family's house and then just took everybody downstairs and I would bang.
Murdered them.
Which is terrible, but at least it's not a random thing. You know.
But I mean, I would, you know, Jared was out of town. I forgot where Mike was, but I had to go to work that night, but I couldn't get to work because news trucks had blocked off all the streets, and I could not go. I called work, and I said, yeah, people have been killed. I can't get to work. And they're like, all right, we'll cover for you.
They ask you, are you in prison right now?
No, I don't mean in a funny way. I mean, it was really horrible.
Yeah, it was a very sad state of affairs.
And now I still live in the same area, but I live in a different house. Now I'm closer to the house, and I'm like, you know, I walk outside every morning. I'm like, there, it's a death house.
You ever see anything strange around there?
No.
Like spooky ghosts?
You know, if
like
we're talking ghosts, I'm going to tell a ghost story.
Okay.
Well, let me tell the other murder story first. Weekend before this one, in our town of Richfield, apparently a woman was had her throat cut in the parking lot of an apartment building.
While holding her child. By her brother.
Apparently he was homeless and angry that his sister would not let him live with her.
Wow.
So what better way to get a home than to kill your sister?
And it's kind of spooky to read the accounts of people who heard the screams and you know,
saw the results at the end. Just a very terrible, gruesome thing.
But again, it's like it wasn't random. It was someone who was specifically targeted by a specific person.
Hey, welcome to our Star Trek show.
I'm just saying, it's like,
that doesn't make it right.
At least I'm not fearful that there's some sort of, you know, serial killer running around my town.
We'll see how angry we make Earl today.
It's just been crazy lately. If you look at the news in the last month, there's just been a lot of this kind of stuff.
The swine flu killer. Yep.
Swine flu.
Before the swine flu, it's just like you get all these people killing their families and killing themselves.
Yeah, there's been a lot of murder suicides, and it's ridiculous.
And it's just like, Jesus, what the hell is going on out there?
The end of the world, Earl.
So after people are killed, we have ghost stories.
the logical conclusion.
Go ahead,
Earl.
Well, I was heading out to the dumpster in the housing area we live at. You got to take your trash out to a dumpster.
So this is where you live now?
Yes.
Okay.
I live
side of the triple murder.
Now, I came from there to be here today.
Okay, good.
I'm just checking in on that.
So everyone who's tracking Earl on Google Earth.
Yep, Google Earth. I'll be waving when I leave here. You can check me out there.
Good.
I'll tweet it maybe. Anyways, I'm taking out the trash, and I see this old guy who looks like unusually gray.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just like super pale, and you're just kind of walking, not paying attention. I'm like, all right, guy. You know, you see people walking.
This daytime or
daytime? Dusk.
Dusk. Okay.
Dusk.
Very important distinction.
Yeah, and
was it spooky at the time, or was it just
no? It was just like, oh, there's a guy walking, because you know you're in an area where there's people walking to their houses, getting to their cars, so it's not unusual.
I don't know if I've ever been in that area.
It's by the pool.
Okay, yeah. So like, if we're walking over to the restaurant, you kind of walk over in that area,
right?
Okay,
yeah.
But it's not unusual. But I mean, you know, you keep a lookout who's walking around, just kind of
sure. You make sure you never know.
You see some dude wielding a chainsaw, you're going to take the trash out later.
Got to break out your ninjutsu. You got to be aware
of your carry nunchucks in my back pocket.
Very good.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? You're crazy if you don't.
That's right. So spooky gray.
So anyways, he walked by the trash,
mm-hmm.
and then like he's gone.
What do you mean?
I mean, like,
did you see him disappear?
I did not see him disappear. I see him walking between the two trash bins.
Yeah.
Just as I'm walking around to put the garbage in, and he's not there. And I'm like, okay, maybe he went behind the car. And I actually was like, where did he go? And I started looking around trying to find him, and I couldn't see him. And there's not like any place you can duck quickly to.
Yeah.
He just vanished. So I don't know what was up with that, but it was creepy, and I kind of felt creepy walking back to the house.
So yeah.
So are you saying you saw a ghost? Do you feel it was a ghost?
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't right.
Maybe it was a guy that just needed some sun. Some old dude.
But yeah, it's kind of weird.
You didn't like turn around and check out the situation, or just
yeah,
keep
I did.
Walking?
I totally did. I was looking by the garages. I was looking by the pool. I looked in, and like I said, it's a long stretch of garages and stuff. It's not like it's just random. You can just duck behind a tree or anything. There's nothing there to really hide behind.
Interesting. So you're saying this is a spooky Scopetacular Scoop exclusive?
It is. And I just, it's like, I don't know. I told the wife about it, and she's like, wow, that is creepy. And it's
did
like,
she believe you, or did she tell you to lay off the hooch?
I did have booze on. No, I'm kidding. it's just a kind of a creepy thing, and it just was all the murders and stuff. I hadn't thought about it in a while, but it was creepy. Well, I don't know. I'm not saying, yeah, a ghost came up and said, ooh, look at me.
Are you telling me I need to be worried about the parking lot ghost at this point? I mean, that might be the worst ghost in the history of ghosts.
Yeah, because
I'm going to hunt this parking lot.
Yo, man, you can't get rid of those guys. You can't give them
you put your either. If you put your, they have like a little slot to put in your money for each
credit card slip.
No, just like a, it's like a metal box that has different slots for each parking spot.
Oh, yeah.
So what is this? Is the parking lot ghost every time you put your quarter in, he's going to kick it out in your face? Your money is not welcome here.
Oh, you're right, or he's gonna
He makes the lines narrower.
He's ghostly. Gonna make cars appear in each slot. Yes. Every time you try to turn in a car, suddenly you're like, damn it!
I can't park.
That's
it's like it's an empty lot, but every time you pull into one, a car just appears. You're like, damn it!
Could be the worst type of ghost ever.
Yeah,
there's a movie that's in the making.
That's the worst place to haunt ever.
I'd call that movie the worst ghost.
Yeah, either that or like maybe a Sbarro's would be a bad ghost. I don't know why, just because
you'd be farting.
It's me around substandard pizza. What's that? What's that noise we got there, Jared?
Spooky ghost? It's an eerie drone, Shane.
That's like the ghost parking lot.
There's a whooping goat, like a whooping cough.
Very nice. Well, you know what, Jared? There's only one thing spookier.
Yeah.
One thing spookier than ghosts.
What's that?
That's the NFL.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh! Look out!
We thought... I say...
Wait, let's finish.
I know, I just like to talk over the sound beds. I yell at Jared for every week, we need more sounds, and then what do? I just talk right over them.
Just right over it.
No, I figured...
I created a whole sound canvas there, Shane, during your little parking lot story.
Well, I'm going to go back and listen to it and see if it pays off. So, listen...
We transitioned to Office Space, back out into traffic. We had police sirens, we had a camera, we had people taking pictures, Shane.
This could be your best artistic soundscape you've ever done.
Let's see if you can work in some gunshots.
We'll see. So
not during this one.
So listen, Earl, I know you're a huge fan of the NFL.
I am the biggest damn football fan ever.
You can say anything you want about the recession. You can say anything you want about swine flu. The story that drives popular media and culture in Minnesota right now is Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
So everyone knows that this will be a Viking. This will be a quick thing, but everyone knows that Brett Favre retired, and he likes to play games in the offseason. Is he going to come back? Is he going to stay retired? What's that, Jared?
Football sounds.
It's not like you're punching me in the nuts.
It sounds more like he's like grabbing cellophane or something.
Yeah. So, Jared.
There we go.
Brett Favre, recently reported that he was going to join the Vikings.
He didn't report that.
Just a couple of days ago.
The media lashed on it.
I knew it.
Yahoo Sports said, no, he is not. And now we're hearing possible rumblings that medical records are being shuffled back and
forth. X-rays of his torn bicep tendon.
And if it comes back as something, anything less than major surgery, Brett Favre will be a Viking. Jared?
They're speculating that this is a ploy to avoid the off-season workouts.
So what say you, Jared? You know all about football. You've got sources on every team in the NFL. You've got people you talk to. How is this going to play out?
I think you're going to see Brett Favre in a purple uniform at training camp. That's my feeling.
Do you think so?
I do.
I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh. And I'm going to go to the Wisconsin Cheese Store in the Mall of America, and I'm going to laugh. I'm just going to stand outside for about 10 minutes and laugh at them.
Why, just because you think they have subpar cheese, or is there another reason?
No, because they're always, Brett Favre. It's just all the Viking fans are beat up on Brett Favre for the longest time.
Yeah? Hey, I'm as guilty as anybody
and
else.
And now what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
We're going to win the Super Bowl.
I think it would be kick-ass if you want to know the truth.
So now you're going to like him all of a sudden?
Sure, why not?
Because you hated him.
Yeah, I hated him more for the fact that he was a Packer and he represented it.
You didn't hate him because he was a drunk drug addict?
Yeah, well, that too. But
well, he wasn't really a drug addict, was he?
He was addicted to like Vicodin or something.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, it could be worse, you know.
He could be
sleeping with underage girls, hanging out with them in hot tubs, which has happened to Packers, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember, but look, I'm gonna give a little secret here.
Come on, Earl
is taking over the sports segment. What's going on?
I
is this a ghost Earl coming?
No,
this is very strange.
No, I know the No, I actually know Brett Favre, and I was talking to him the other day with lunch. Yeah, we were tackling.
Earl just sits around and tackles with Brett Favre.
We do.
Hey,
we
Brett, come on over. Let's tackle each other.
We're at the park tackling, just like that.
I love to see Earl in the
and,
park.
And, you know,
tackling.
Brett Favre was like, all right, Earl, you got to take it easy on me. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Are you naked when you're tackling?
No. Darn, because we got the kid with us.
Boxer briefs. Right. I got it.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing. But anyways, he sits back and like, you know, and I'm sorry, but I'm in the moment. I got to do it. He said, don't touch me, but I might be coaching the Vikings.
Well, really? He's actually going to take over Chili's job. Will he coach and play at the same time?
He might. He didn't say that. He said, look,
so he's a player coach.
He said, I've said too much, and then he got up and walked away, and it was a tear in his eye.
And did you tackle him from behind?
Was it a purple tear?
No, because it was it was kind of whatever purple and green make.
Let me ask you this question, Earl. Did the brown? Did the tackle?
Money. They make money.
Earl, when you tackled him, did it sound like this?
When I tackle him, yes.
Earl tackles people, they explode in a nuclear reaction.
Because I'm that good.
Very good.
I was going to join football, but they said, dude, that's too crazy. Can you tone it down? I said,
you're going to explode people every time you tackle. That's how it's supposed to sound. But then Earl tackles me. And it sounds like this.
I can't that switch that quickly.
That was Brett Favre tackling me. Now, this is me tackling Brett Favre.
You throw him against the fence?
That was me hitting him in the head with a stick.
That's very nice.
Yeah. We're at the park.
So Jared predicts...
He drop-kicked a dog. It was pretty cool.
Jared predicts Brett Favre will be a Viking. I think it's very possible, but I'm getting a little bit tired of the old back and forth, Earl. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree.
Maybe he's going to be the mascot.
You never know. So, okay, that's the end of our football. That was just a chance to play sound effects. I got one more thing, and then we're going to jump in. Thank you.
Yeah! I do love that. I may hate football,
we're going to jump into a quick note.
Programming note.
This past week, Jared and I were on the new podcast, Zero Hour with Johnny John Joe Norton. And that's what I'm going to call him. Jackie Jork Jump. And it was a pretty good appearance, I think.
I think so.
I went back and listened to it. You know, it was about a two and a half hour recording session. I don't know.
I don't know how old I am.
And then John goes in
dramatic
and
recreation.
Uses his magic, Earl. Takes the best of the best, adds some post production magic, and turns it into a great show. And it's his second episode.
He had my voice replaced with Alec Baldwin.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I'd be very happy about that.
No, Shane.
That would be awesome.
That's what we call humor in the business.
Oh, I didn't see it. I thought maybe it was the one part I didn't
see. Of course, you didn't see it.
So anyway, give that a chance. Please, to listen to us, but also to support one of the people and podcast that supports us.
That's called reciprocity.
It is.
That's called a plug.
That's going to be part of something, Jared, I want to start. Like,
very different from Virtuosity, starring Russell Crowe and that other guy.
Denzel Washington.
Yes. Denzel Washington.
He was the only good thing in that film. We all watched that and said, man, that movie sucked. But dude, whoever played that killer guy, he was cool.
I never expected that to go on. I thought that was a one-line joke, but I guess Earl's going to continue.
Earl knows his stuff. Earl, this is a thing. Jared and I are fighting against blogcasts. We like good podcasts.
What's a blogcast?
It's just boring podcasting.
We are?
It is. Yes, we are.
Okay.
I think we need to start some sort of podcasting federation. You know, inspired by Star Trek, where we just get together the best and the brightest.
United Federation of Podcasts.
What do you think?
Are you going to have Tyler Perry run the deal?
Oh, we don't get into Tyler Perry.
We can have Podfleet, right?
I guarantee you, Jared, Tyler Perry is going to fall into the calculation for the Star Trek review. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Speaking of Star Trek, in just a couple seconds, we're going to be doing nothing but talking about Star Trek.
I can't wait. I'm
all the time.
Here.
We're going to talk about some of our favorite Star Trek stories. We're going to debate Star Trek, and then we're going to wrap it up with a terrific review of the Star Trek movie. Earl has seen it. Jared and I have seen it. And apparently a lot of people have seen it, actually.
Yeah, they have.
So it is going to be a blockbuster, whether you love it or hate it. This first weekend is going to be huge for that movie. Also, you know, we've got our standard Under the Scope right after that.
Part C.
Scope Sound. Yeah, Part C of our... Part 1, Part 2, and Part C.
Mm-hmm.
We're also doing a terrific Scope Sounds. I'm very fascinated with what Jared has selected this week. So Earl,
I kind of figured you would be.
Earl, thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. I'll see
Adam,
you later.
Bye. See you on the flip side.
See you on the flip side.
Oh, is it time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Once again, it's time for another edition of The Scope, Female Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is snake charmer. That was the scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Now, back to the show.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's crazy, because that was part of my intro, to boldly go where no scope show has gone before. The world of Star Trek. And why did William Shatner sound like he was on a little bit of helium right there? Is that the way it sounds in the show?
Or he was younger.
He was younger.
A little bit younger.
I thought he
to boldly go. Oh.
Boldly go and no man has gone before.
Come on, Earl. Give me a little William Shatner right now. Bill Shatner.
Trying to do the show yet. That was bad. I'm sorry.
So, Jared, I'm kind of considering this.
It applies to everyone.
A special edition of a nerd roundtable. What do you say? We haven't done a nerd roundtable.
Oh, shit. You need me to dig that up?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to dig it up because we got the Star Trek theme. But, you know, we haven't done a nerd roundtable in a long time.
Okay.
We've never had, really, beyond the Transformers, any focused nerd roundtable. Now we do.
Yes.
This is the Star Trek nerd roundtable. I've got a bunch of topics, things we can talk about. And let's get to it right now, Earl.
Okay. Hit me.
Topic one. Let's go back to the very first time you ever saw Star Trek. I don't know if you can ever remember, but just tell me, you know, you were a youth when that show was in syndication.
He's two youths.
Yeah, I wasn't born on show yet.
But you know, did you like it when you were a kid? That's what I want to know.
You know, I think I found it like at the same time I found Star Wars.
So around 77.
Yeah, maybe a little before.
Or did you did you read the magazines about Star Wars came out?
No, I didn't.
So Star Trek was always right in your...
Oh, I was a Star Wars kid.
Okay, but Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek, it was on TV and I'd see it and I'd just wait until the monsters came on.
Yeah.
And if it was like one of the later episodes where it's like, you know, a guy comes onto the ship and they talk for 20 minutes, then I was like, there's no monsters.
You just like the action.
Yeah, if Kirk was kicking someone's ass... Or if a monster showed up, I was paying attention. If not, I was building crap with Legos.
What about you, Jared?
I don't know exactly when I found the show, but I know it was something that my dad watched in syndication. Was it on Sundays, I think? I seem to recall it being on Sundays.
Yeah. Like Sunday. I believe it was locally on Channel 9.
Sounds about right. I had Saturday afternoon. I remember it.
Maybe it was Saturday. I don't know. But that's what I remember. I remember my dad, or it being on in the house on the weekends. And I didn't really get it. It was old to me.
Yeah.
I guess when I really started watching it was in high school. A friend of mine was a big Star Trek fan, and
I thought it might have been a girl.
Sadly, no. He had episodes on videotape, and we would watch them now and again.
Fully clothed?
Fully
clothed.
Yes.
Very nice.
We had our Starfleet regulation uniforms on, Shane.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a child, I was extremely skittish, and I was scared of everything. I was scared of, I was scared of clowns. I was scared of going under tunnels. I was scared of fireworks.
Wow.
I was scared of being trapped in stores when they were closing. Like when the gates start coming down. And I was also scared of the closing credits of Star Trek. Because they would have pictures.
They'd have pictures
of stills of aliens. Wasn't there like a weird brainy looking dude or something?
Yeah, that guy going, oh.
And that scared me so much that I would not watch the show.
You know, now that you said it, I think I waited till the ending credits so I could see all the monster pictures.
That's why you and I, Earl, can never be together.
Water and oil.
Yeah, I also, with Jared...
Like steak and white wine.
Exactly.
Just don't go together.
I always kind of felt like the original was pretty dated, and, you know, Earl brings up a good point. At that time, that was the heart of the Star Wars phenomenon kicking off. So everything in that show, that movie, looks so realistic and so kick-ass.
Yeah.
If you compare that to Star Trek, there was no comparison.
I had to be older to be able to kind of put it into its historical context and appreciate it. Because as a kid, it was like, I'm watching Star Wars, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica, and I'm like, this Star Trek just isn't. Mm-hmm. This isn't match up.
That's funny. As a kid in Battlestar Galactica, I think it was because my sister's like, no, it's just like Star Wars. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, not the same.
And then you wait for the Cylons, and then show up like once every 20 minutes. Finally, you just said, you know what? I got better things to do. I'm not waiting for these Cylons to show up.
Very nice.
Nice.
So, you know, as we're moving through the history of Star Trek.
Star Trek?
You know, it was the mid-80s when Star Trek The Next Generation came.
I thought it was late 80s.
Shane, late 80s.
There's a piece of tape related to that show that if I could get, I think it would probably be priceless.
What?
This friend of mine, my friend from high school, who was a Star Trek fan and he introduced me to the classic series. We watched the premiere of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And during commercial breaks, we fired up the tape recorder and we gave our review to that point.
Oh.
So every commercial break, there is a summary slash review commentary, whatever you want to call it, from the two of us, you know, in our teens, on the premiere episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Encounter at Farpoint.
I hate to go to this well over and over again, but what did your girlfriend think of this?
That would be the silence.
The
silence of there not being a girlfriend.
So, do you have this tape? Does the friend have this tape?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to ask him if he has it. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Is this guy on Facebook?
He is, although he's one of the many people who joined Facebook and is really into it for about 2 weeks and then disappears again.
Well, I think that on behalf of all Scope listeners, it's time for you to reach out.
This guy, if he has tapes, he has lots of tapes of us and our various adventures that are not Star Trek related.
You need to get this stuff.
It could be really interesting stuff.
That's a whole new podcast.
Bartles and James commercials.
I'll tell you right now.
He's got Bartles and James commercials.
If he can find that tape, I got a couple of tapes of me as a kid just saying crazy shit, too.
So if
you can find people that have tapes of them as kids, make a whole episode.
I'll donate that
if he finds it.
Well, you might have to donate no matter what.
Right.
I mean, that could be gold. That is comedy gold.
Anyway, we're getting off track now.
Star Trek, The Next Generation.
That's how you say it. Star Trek.
Star Trek.
That's people that say, I like Star Trek have the robots.
Right.
So, Earl, you're a big classic Star Trek fan.
I appreciate it. Next Generation
comes out. What was your take at the time? Were you excited and then you saw it and you went into the crapper? What did you think?
I don't remember overly hating it. I remember saying, well, not as cool looking as the old show. I think I looked at their outfits and I was just like, oh, those are the worst outfits ever.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah, that was my initial take with it, too. I remember being excited about it. I don't even know why. I was never a big Star Trek fan, but the concept of a new Star Trek.
Right, and then Star Trek 6 came out, and I'm like, kick ass, Star Trek 6, and that, like, this is what's good.
Yeah. Well, I thought it started off very boring, very dry. The outfits were strange.
Yeah.
And
they needed belts.
That was a show
to define the midsection.
That was a show that took a long time. It probably took about 3 years to find its feet, I think.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Jared?
I would, and unfortunately, it's like shows aren't usually given that long of a gestation period anymore, which is sad because sometimes shows do need that time to find their creative footing. But yeah.
So, do you think that even at that time, Earl, we talk about reboots or whatever? Do you think that they could have restarted Star Trek with the same cast?
You couldn't because the same cast was still making movies.
Yeah.
You couldn't redo it. Trek 6 was originally supposed to be what the current Star Trek film is, a young crew.
Sure.
And they were going to just find young actors because they couldn't afford to pay these guys, and they were getting older and older and older.
So what did the original cast think about Next Generation?
They were pretty happy about it.
They were...
From what I understand.
Okay. I guess I'm
not a historian on the topic. I want to make that clear.
It pretty much, I would assume it benefited them in exposing the world to Star Trek and hopefully that fans of the Next Generation would then go back and try to investigate the roots of the show and they would discover these old aging actors.
Then they would, these old wrinkly dudes.
They would invite them to conventions.
And, I remember though, the big crowning moment for the Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov. I remember him doing a Star Trek soundtrack commercial. Early morning sci-fi channel. You'd be like, Star Trek fans have waited years for this. I was like, wow, this is crap.
I love that imitation, Earl.
Thank you.
So, better Star Trek captain, Kirk or Picard? Earl, go.
Oh, Kirk all the way.
Why is that? Give me two reasons.
You know what? I'll tell you. I'll even give you facts.
You'll give me facts on fictional characters. I love it.
There you go. Facts on fictional character. Take a look at the beginning of Generations. Kirk is on the ship. He's ready to spring into action. He gives his life to save everybody. They cut to
Didn't he get shot in the back?
No, no, I'm talking the very first scene of the film. He gives his life to save the crew that needs, you know, to save everyone. And then they cut to Next Generation. We're playing Pirates on the Holodeck. And I'm just like, that's why Captain Kirk is better. And, I mean, the funny thing is Picard ends up doing what Kirk would have done, but after a convenient plot line forces him to do it.
What's the convenient plot line?
The only one I could really come up with was a new Star Trek film, but we hadn't come up with that. But, like the Borg, it's like, go kick the Borg's ass. And he's like, I can't resort to violence. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like...
it's like I'm watching an episode of Next Gen right now.
It's a perfect Patrick Stewart.
And it's just like watching...
Number one.
You know, number one, we're in trouble. I can't resort to violence. Let's surrender the ship. Blah, 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 blah.
Where are my pants?
You don't have pants. You got one giant pajama. That's what he has.
Oh, that's right. I wear a skirt.
Yes.
Do you think that
Kirk would have... Let's go to the holodeck and I'll play Dixon Hill. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you think a Kirk would have banged Guinan? That's what I want to know.
What's that?
Kirk would have banged Guinan.
Oh, hell yeah. He would have had everybody. You know what he would have said?
He would have gotten to Worf's pants? Is that what you're telling
me? Kirk would have made his way through the entire crew.
No, yeah. I often wonder what it would have been like to see Kirk fight the Borg. Like, you know, if you could somehow... It would never ever happen correctly. But
I bet there's a fan film.
I'm sure there's fanfic out there where, yeah, Kirk and Spock are done doing it, and then they go off and fight the Borg.
That's slash fic.
Who is smarter? Oh, who is smarter, though? Was Kirk or Picard smarter?
If you're talking like an IQ test, I will... throw it to Picard, but Picard doesn't have the instinct to.
Picard gets 10 extra points just for being British.
But there you go.
Thank you.
But I mean, he knows useless trivia that doesn't save you out in space when you're being attacked. He's just like, well, I can recite Shakespeare. I can kick this guy's ass. I'm going with
Kirk. Well, I can tell you all the hits of the Go-Go's in the past 10 years. He knows things like that.
Yeah, Picard has had some pretty ruthless moments in the show, though. I mean,
give me one, Jared.
I don't know. I can't cite specific examples. I just know that there were some times where when it came down to it and he had to kick some ass, he took care of it.
So, Jared,
I'm saying. The plot would have to twist to finally get him to do something.
Do you think that
I think he tried to avoid violence at all.
Do you think maybe in the future, Earl, that people were just more civilized and the Starfleet had advanced to such a point where you didn't have to go in and chop up people?
They're being civilized, but when you got like robotic people grabbing people and turning them into robots, you got to do something.
Well, he did.
Yeah, after that, most of his crew got sucked up into the thing.
Oh, Earl.
Well, all right, I'd like to talk about the next generation toy of the Star Trek Next Generation Transporter, which came with the Captain Picard figure.
Yes.
You know why I like it?
Tell me.
You get to make Picard disappear.
Oh, snap.
Thank you. I took a long time setting that one up.
Jared, you were telling me that Picard is the best captain ever, off the air. Why do you feel
that
way? I think you were. For the sake of the show, I think you were saying that.
I was not saying that. I will give a slight edge to Picard, though, just because, I mean...
Because he's British.
Because he's British, exactly. I think Kirk was a little bit more, you know, kick someone's ass first before... maybe that wasn't the step that needed to be taken at that point. I don't know.
No, Kirk always gave
you
a chance.
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about this, I guess.
Yeah. We used to, back in the day. I was thinking about this, Earl, and, you know, we actually have had this battle probably 15 years ago. We fought about this, but...
Why are we still fighting about it? No, we're friends now.
No, I'm gonna step back a little bit from my militant love of Picard and say, and say, you know what? I think that there's a certain charm to Kirk. Maybe it's just because as I get older, I think William Shatner is such a freaking character that...
William Shatner's awesome.
That I just like the guy. Even if he could be the world's biggest douche or the world's nicest guy. I just like listening to him and looking at him and hearing him speak.
Out of all the books he's written, I only buy books that he reads on tape.
Out of all the books that he's ghostwritten... Or had a ghostwriter work for him. He doesn't write that stuff.
Well,
Tech War? No.
The other guy's name is on the book.
It's like George Lucas writing the first Star Wars novel. He didn't do that.
I know. The guy that did the Hidden Fortress did.
Wow, here we go. This isn't a Star Wars debate.
You said it. You brought it up.
I'm just saying.
I followed the train that you're driving.
William Shatner is a very talented man.
Yes, he is.
For pitching products and...
Have you seen his talk
and
show?
And acting and gaining weight. But he's not a writer, trust me.
Have you seen his talk show?
I have not.
His talk show is dynamite. He really gets personal with the guest. And it goes.
What's the name of the show?
The Howard Stern Show.
Getting personal with...
Getting personal. Answer my questions with William Shatner. No, Raw Nerve. I think it's on...
Yeah, something like that.
It's on Biography, I believe. But it's a really good show. He knows how to interview.
Very nice.
And when I get his books on tape, he reads them great, and it's fun to listen to. And we listen to... one of his Star Trek memories when we drove up to Canada, if you remember that,
Jared.
Oh, yeah.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
He's fun to listen to, that's for sure. We like his voice. We can agree on that.
Yep.
Question number four.
Yes.
Or is it three? I don't know. Of the three of us,
yes.
which one of us has never dressed like a Star Trek character?
Oh, gee, who could that be? Let me think.
Who would it be? Shane?
Shane?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Incorrect. It's a trick question. We've all dressed like Star Trek
characters. We have.
When did you dress like a Star Trek
character? Wow.
Jared and I would dress as Star Trek guys at a Klingon wedding. What about you?
Well,
Mr. I hate costumes more than...
This isn't that kind of... I don't want to say it's...
You're probably young.
It's an interesting story. Not an interesting story. Not as young
one
as
of those
you.
Ben
it's a very boring story. Please fast forward 10 minutes.
It's a very, very boring story. So, you know, back in the mid-90s, there used to be those games like How to Host a Murder Mystery.
Oh, my God. That's right. You did.
Yeah. Really?
And, you know, they had a bunch of themes, and eventually they had one that was a How to Host a Star Trek Next Generation Murder Mystery Party. And some former Toys R Us co-workers, actually one of them, was throwing that party, and he invited all sorts of people to go to it. And he actually invited me, and he said, "You're going to come to my party, and you're going to be Geordi."
Oh!
And a guy that Earl's referenced a few times in the show, Mike Craven, was also invited to that party. So the rule was you really had to work your hardest to try to get some sort of Star Trek costume. And, you know, in these days, you really couldn't get the stuff. I mean, you either had to...
No, back then it was
It had to be custom made or something like that.
So it was all shoe polish and t-shirts.
Yeah.
Well, you had to go to, like, one of the Star Trek catalogs and spend $200 for a piece of shit.
So what we ended up doing, and this is in my early days, you can tell, because I actually was going to go through with this, is I went to a local, like, Marshall's or something like that.
This was before you married a hot woman.
Yeah, I will. I was probably 19, somewhere in there. Not great. Probably not great friends with Earl and Jared. We were friends at the time.
Yeah, you were an awkward teen.
Yeah, I was sort of in between friend groups, between high school and later years. But Mike and I went to Marshall's, he found like a red shirt or a yellow shirt. I did too. Bought some fabric paint, painted the shoulders like Star Trek. I actually made a little Star Trek communicator thing out of foil. And then I think like gold foil from Hershey's Almond Kisses, stuff like that.
Very creative.
Made it.
Very industrious.
I made a Star Trek uniform.
And what was everybody else at the party wearing?
someone can dress as Wolverine, which is very strange.
Well, this is kind of a funny funny thing to mention. The guy that was hosting the party had a full beard and kind of long hair. He looked sort of like a pirate, very skinny, looked sort of like a pirate, a tall, skinny pirate.
Was this Alec?
This was Alec.
Okay.
Yeah,
and he demanded that for the party, he get to play the part of Deanna Troi.
I'm not touching that.
So he had a Star Trek shirt. He had balloons under his shirt. He had he had full makeup with the beard and mustache. He should have been playing Riker.
I'm going to tell you right there. Be glad you weren't playing Riker.
Why is that?
Because he would have tried to get you.
That's true. It was very bizarre.
Oh my!
We always questioned Alec's sexuality. I think right there sort of cemented that.
Yeah.
Question
answered, Shane. That's what I would say.
So, yes,
engage.
I have dressed up like a Star Trek character.
Well, congratulations,
I think
Shane.
That might have been the last time I've ever
done it. I got to shake your hand on that.
Done anything
you should,
like that.
You should revisit it. It's much nicer now.
It is. Okay, well, there we have it.
And then a week later, Playmates released all the props and toys you needed for the
Exactly. Tricorder, phaser.
It all worked out. So
the little eye visor thing.
So final question before we actually get into the review of the movie.
Yes.
Actually, it's a two-part question. Earl?
Yes, sir.
Best Star Trek series?
Oh, classic.
Worst Star Trek series?
I don't know. I really haven't seen them all, but just from my knowledge, I'll have to throw out Next Generation. But that's Next Generation.
No,
wait. I'm saying that because I haven't watched there's like 50 different.
Worse
series.
than the last one.
What's the worst?
Enterprise. Worse than Voyager.
Enterprise.
Enterprise? I thought people liked Enterprise.
A lot of people hate it, especially hardcore Star Trek fans.
No kidding. I thought Deep Space Nine was the one you're supposed to hate.
No, Deep Space Nine apparently got really good at the.
No,
end.
It's Voyager. What's the one with Janeway flying?
That was
through?
That's Voyager.
I kind of like the idea of it. I never watched it, but I thought the idea of it.
The
was
idea
cool.
was interesting. Maybe execution not so good. Jared, your opinion.
Best one, I'll go Star Trek Next Generation.
Ooh.
Worst one, it's easy to pick Enterprise, but I actually liked a lot of Enterprise. Does Star Trek the Animated Series count?
Sure.
Oh, that's a low blow.
It is. I've never actually seen it, so I just assume it's so worse.
I will pick Star Trek Next Generation is my favorite, and I will pick the worst as the animated series for one reason only. The guy that dressed up like Deanna Troi also compared me to the orange-headed alien on Star Trek, the animated series, and would call me that all the time.
Don't pick on the series just because another man misused the show.
Well, I'm just bitter and angry.
Yes,
that
you
way.
Are bitter. Don't pick on
the best Star Trek character, Earl.
Captain Kirk. Jesus.
Jared
Spock.
Shane is selecting Neelix from Star Trek Voyager.
The Gorn.
That's all I know. Kes.
Gorn.
So before we get into the review, let me ask this question, because I think this will set everything up, Jared.
Okay.
And I'm curious about Earl's reaction as well as yours. When you heard that J.J. Abrams was going to be doing a Star Trek movie, your opinion was blank.
I was excited because I am, you know, a fan of J.J. Abrams' work, but I was also very cautious because it's like, this is Star Trek. This could go horribly, horribly wrong. You know, this is such a huge property. I don't know.
J.J. Abrams attached to a rewrite or a reboot of Superman, I believe.
Seriously?
No.
Which was, according to what I read, absolute travesty in terms of the history and the mythos of Superman.
I believe it.
Krypton wasn't exploded. All sorts of crazy things happened.
Oh, is that one where Lex Luthor was also from Krypton?
Possible. I mean, it was all over the place.
That's that triple, the one they were going to make into three films?
Yeah, I don't know it, but
yeah,
I just know that it was all
was
over the place.
A horrible film.
So, well, it wasn't made, so luckily, not horrible.
Idea.
So, Earl,
in the Burton era. Yes, sir.
Your opinion, you heard J.J. Abrams. Did you even know who he was at the
yes,
time?
Yes, I know who J.J. Abrams was. Okay. It's the name you hear in the circles that we all hang out in. I was like, oh, great. There's going to be another Bayformers around the horizon. I'm always skeptical.
There is another Bayformers in there.
Jared, yeah. the correct answer to John Norton's question is 45 minutes, 8 seconds.
what was the question? I got to know now. You started this one.
He said, in 0 hour, how long will it take Earl to talk about Transformers? Because I told you to be on the show. I know. I was ripping on you. I just had to.
All right. I'm done. Goodbye.
get in here.
All right. $5 got me back here.
$5? What do you think? I made of money?
And yes. Complimentary blowjobs.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
I think both Earl and I will go on record to say that's not happening.
I'm not. No. It's been said.
So you want it to happen? You are sick. So you were worried.
Wait a minute. Never mind. All right, let's go back.
Moving on.
What I'm saying is, I always get Larry, when you take like a popular brand, like a name of something that's been around for like, you know, longer than anybody making movies today.
Did you say Lirious?
What? I probably did.
I like that word, Lirious.
Lirious.
Write that one down, Lirious. We're going to use that.
Put that one in the old dictionary. Thank you.
The old dictionary.
I know, when you get these name brand directors like Michael Bay, Tim Burton, J.J. Abrams, and you attack them, something like that, you know, it's just like, well, I don't want to see their vision of it. I want to see a good version of it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was not
in favor of it.
A lot of people give you a hard time, but let's be fair right now.
I'm going to be
fair. A lot of times remakes or reimaginings end up worse than what they could be. Is that a fair statement
to make?
I mean, I would say, do you agree with that, Jared? I think more often than not, they fail. You have to have someone with a strong vision, but also a strong understanding of what the material is.
And that's not to say that they fail financially, because they can be very financially successive, but creatively, they're just meh.
Yeah, oftentimes it doesn't work.
I'd like to get this cleared out. I'm not against remakes. I'm against reimaginings, because reimaginings fail pretty much every time they're done. Remakes can be good.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll even cite some awesome movies as remakes if you want to go sidetrack. And
Cape Fear.
Not.
We're not going to do that.
No.
But I agree with your...
You better believe me.
I believe that you have the film knowledge, the film vision to be able to name those movies.
I can.
So, Jared, let's do it right now. Let's get into the review of Star Trek since we sort of set it up.
Hey, folks, our Star Trek review is filled with spoilers. Just thought we'd give you a heads up. If you don't want to hear anything about it, fast forward to the 1 hour 22 mark, and you should be clear. That's all.
We now join the scope already in progress.
I've got the text right here. This is unprecedented. We're breaking format. You know, people usually this is going to throw. If Adam listens to this show, he's not going to know what the hell's going on. He doesn't even know if news comes before.
He's going to come back and he just we'll have to re-educate him on the show.
He'll come back. And go, you guys screwed it up.
No, he will say that, but he won't say it like that. So, Star Trek, 2009 science fiction film directed by J.J. Abrams and written by Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman.
You mean asshole and dickwad?
There we go. It's the 11th film based in the Star Trek franchise and features the main characters of the original Star Trek series, who are portrayed by a new cast, though the film introduces an alternative timeline differing from the original series. It explores the backstories of James T. Kirk, played by Chris Pine, and Spock, played by Zachary Quinto, before they unite aboard the USS Enterprise to combat Nero, played by Hulk's Eric Bana, a Romulan from the future who threatens the United Federation of Planets. So our first clip features Chris Pine's Kirk meeting and hitting on communications officer Uhura, played by Zoe Saldana, the hot Zoe Saldana. Clip one, if you will.
Hi. I'm like a Klabnin fire tea. Three Budweiser Classics, two Cardassian Sunrises, and...
try the Slush-O, it's good.
The Slush-O mix, thank you.
It's a lot of drinks for one woman.
And a shot of Jack, straight up.
Make that two her shots on me.
Her shots on her. Thanks, but no thanks.
You at least want to know my name before you completely reject me?
I'm fine without it.
You are fine without it. It's Jim Kirk. If you don't tell me your name, I'm going to have to make one up.
It's Uhura.
Uhura? No way. That's the name I was going to make up for you. Uhura what?
Bullshit. Just Uhura.
They don't have last names in your world?
Uhura is my last name.
Well, they don't have first names in your world?
Excuse me, buddy.
So, you're a cadet, you're studying. What's your focus?
Xenolinguistics. You have no idea what that means.
Study of alien languages, morphology, phonology, syntax. Means you've got a talented tongue.
And that was quickly followed by...
Thank you. Jared doing his own soundscape once again. So some of the other cast members include Bruce Greenwood playing Christopher Pike, Captain Christopher Pike.
Get it right, man.
Joining him as well would be Leonard Bones McCoy, played by Carl Urban, one of Jared's favorites in the movie. The man who will become the ship's chief engineer, Montgomery Scotty Burns, played by...
Simon did you just say Montgomery Burns?
He did.
Montgomery Scotty...
Scott,
sorry. Yeah, Simon
Very
Pegg.
Different.
Thank you.
Excellent. I'm getting it all. She's got Smithers. Rev at the transporter room.
Experienced helmsman Sulu, played by John Cho, and 17-year-old whiz kid Chekhov, played by Anton Yelchin. He's actually a Russian or Croatian or whatever.
He's Russian.
And this, by the way, is right from the publicity text that you might find in the press kit. All will face a harrowing first test that will set in motion the loyalty, camaraderie, daring, and good humor that will bind them forever. Who writes that crap? So, Earl, how do you think first contact between Spock and Scotty, not to mention Kirk, went down? How do you think it went down, that first contact? Well, listen to this clip and find out for yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to need that. I have like heavy breathing.
Who are you?
I'm with him.
He's with me. We are traveling at warp speed.
Oh, yeah.
How did you manage to beam aboard this ship?
You're the genius. You figure it out.
As acting captain of this vessel, I order you to answer the question.
Well, I'm not telling, acting captain. Well, no, that doesn't frustrate you, does it? My lack of cooperation. That doesn't make you angry.
Are you a member of Starfleet?
Yes. Can I get a towel? Please?
Under penalty of court-martial, I order you to explain to me how you were able to beam aboard this ship while moving at warp.
Well, don't answer.
You will answer me.
What do you think of that, Earl? That's quite
intense.
What is that followed by, Jared?
Hmm?
Is that followed by anything?
I think Scotty got crazy and did one of these.
Turned into a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah.
So Star Trek is on screens everywhere right now and could be a massive hit. On its first night alone, Thursday, it grossed over $7 million, and that was starting at 7 p.m.
Yes, it was.
So that's big, big, big money.
Big money, big prizes, Shane.
On to the review. Jared, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
What I love about you is your overflowing amount of information, your opinions on life, movies, culture, and I know that you have something to say about this movie. So let's hear it.
It's okay.
I saw him cashing a check from Paramount this morning, so let's be careful.
Shane,
He's paid off already, Earl.
I've been anticipating this film for a long time. I was very disappointed when it was moved from November release last year to May of this year. I had to wait that much longer, six extra months. And
did you cry when that happened?
There were tears, little tiny single tear.
Were they purple tears? Like Brett Favre?
Green tears, like Spock.
I think that's why he was so depressed.
However,
he's been very depressed.
I was, as we've said before, I was cautiously optimistic that this would turn out to be a good film. I guess I was heartened when early reviews started coming out that it was so good.
Early Rotten Tomatoes score right around 94%.
Yep, it's pretty good. So, fast forward to today, we go see the movie. I'm very excited to see it. And it sucked balls. No.
I almost called you guys and told you how it ended. I saw it last night. I saw it first.
You're
and, you
a
know,
bastard.
I'm a better Star Trek fan.
Those of you,
you
following me
fan.
On the Twitters know that I
the Twitters.
His cult.
I'm not even following him.
Those that follow me know that I revealed several fake endings to the film last night, even though I had not
very
yet
nice.
Seen it.
By the way, before you keep talking, Jared, do we need to set up some sort of quasi spoiler alert, even if we don't intend to spoil?
If listening to the Scope listeners don't know by now, when we talk about something, we dissect it.
Yeah, it's going to come out. We're
going to talk about plot points. It's going to happen. So yeah.
You better just take the little browser and click it ahead, Sonny.
So buckle up, Buttercup. Okay, go ahead, Jared.
What?
Sorry.
I'm just going to say that overall, I really, really enjoyed this film. It was about as good as I expected it to be. That said, let's not get into the quibbles yet. Let's get into the good stuff first. Visually stunning. Effects were great. I wasn't annoyed at all by the special camera work with the lens flares and stuff like that. I actually stopped noticing it after a while. I thought the music was superb. Casting was perfect, in my opinion. I wasn't sure about Chris Pine as Kirk initially. I didn't really see in the trailer and the clips, it didn't feel like Kirk to me, but there were enough moments in the movie where it felt like he was getting some of the Shatner mannerisms down without doing a Shatner impression.
He has a little bit of a Christian Slater
a little bit
tone to his voice, kind of a lazy drawl. There's just a little bit of a drawl that's like a young Jack Nicholson sort of thing, and not Shatner. But
I think he picked it up from Shatner, because if you watch the old show, Shatner, when he's mellow, he just kind of talks slow, but when something happens, he picks up his speed on talking.
Gotcha.
Zachary Quinto, however you pronounce it.
Quentin Tarantino.
Absolutely perfect as Spock. I don't know how anyone else could play that role, honestly, other than Leonard Nimoy. And Carl Urban as Dr. McCoy, I thought he was brilliant. He really got the way the character is, and just so much fun watching him on screen.
Jared's pissing his pants with excitement.
I just think the cast overall was excellent, and it felt right. They did the characters right. They embodied them while still making them fresh, and I thought that was great. The story is what it is. It's kind of balls to the wall action throughout the whole thing, which is, if you don't like that, then you're going to be disappointed, because there's not a lot of talking through the problem like there is in past Treks.
Intellectualism is a little bit more out of the...
Yeah, that's why I think they chose to make a classic film instead of reboot Next Generation.
Yeah.
Part of the problem with that, though, is you've got to make some leaps of logic. You got to make some... Accept some things are going to be... some decisions are going to be made quickly without maybe all the information you need. Certain characters are going to do things that maybe you don't have a full motivation for. But
you're going to accidentally bump into Spock on a planet.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that.
That's probably my biggest problem with that movie.
So now that you bring it up, let's. There's a couple problems.
But do you want to let Earl give his summary before, or do you want to keep going?
Well, this is my review.
Okay, go ahead.
Or do we want to do problems later?
Just calm down.
I only had a couple really quibbles with it. Number one, I thought maybe the humor portion of when McCoy has infected Kirk with the disease to get him onto the ship.
Sure.
I thought the humor there where he kept jabbing him with things was maybe a bit too slapsticky, a little too much at that time. But I guess if you're going to do it early in the film before things get really, really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't... Number one, I thought it was weird that Spock just kind of marooned Kirk on this planet just without really... He's like, get him off the ship, and pff, he's gone.
Yeah.
Shoots him onto an ice world. I didn't care for the animal chasing portion of it at all.
The big vagina monster?
Yeah. And it's like, number one, I didn't like the character, the monster designs, because for some reason, CG artists need to come up with these multi-segmented jaws on creatures now. And it's like, no, it's everyone's doing that. It's dumb.
It's become a cliche.
And Kirk running and screaming like a girl while being chased by monsters didn't seem right.
I liked the first one that was chasing him.
First
sort
one was
of
all
that
right.
Beast, like the
second
beast
one I didn't like.
That thing looked like it should have been there, and it looked like a kick ass. And all of a sudden, this red vagina monster shows up.
This clam.
It was a vagina
thing. Yeah,
right.
A clam.
By the
vagina.
Way, Angie, if you're still listening to this and you want to see the film, you should be skipping ahead, because Yeah, we're talking.
We're
about
going. We're getting deep.
I thought it was. I think everyone thought it was a little convenient that he gets shot on this planet where and Spock, old Spock, happens to be there.
I
go ahead if you want to chime in.
No, I disagree because it actually there was. I hate to say this, logical that they would land on the planet because they put him on the planet so he could watch the other planet go by, and they were in the vicinity of that area. So yeah, where else is he going to land? Because Spock's like, yeah, they stuck me here, and they're like, yeah, me too. So we can all watch Vulcan.
It just was very lucky that something like that
would happen. Well, there wasn't like a whole crap load of planets to choose from.
Yeah, well, I guess if you look at it that way, sure. But it still seemed a little convenient.
And that Kirk was conveniently...
No, but what amazes me is nobody's complaining. It's like, wait a minute, Spock. First thing he says, oh, yeah, let's go to this outpost. Like, when you landed there, why don't you go, hey, get everybody the hell off of Vulcan now.
I didn't think he knew it was going to happen.
He knew something was up.
But Spock didn't know that Vulcan was going to get destroyed at that point.
Yeah, but he could have went there and said, hey, can somebody like get me a ship or something? Because it's like cold here.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe. I mean,
I think we can all agree it was just an odd plot. It was just sort of an odd plot thing. How it was all wrapped up.
I think it worked out because, you know, they put him on there so he could watch Vulcan get destroyed.
Yep.
And right after that happened, they got Kirk out of there. So, yeah, there's only one place to shoot them to. Ice Hoth, you know. My more complaint was the fact that it looked like they filmed it in like a kiddie park. The inside of that cave was just bad. I'm sorry.
I think that's a fair statement.
Sure. So okay, I'll start to wrap it up here.
Cool, okay,
I'll wrap it up here.
Yeah.
There were some. Yeah. I was probably hovering around. I don't know, maybe a 3-star review until a couple key things happened. Number one, at the end, Enterprise shows up and starts guns a blazing against the Romulan ship. I'm like, wow, that's cool. It's just unleashing everything. It's just really, really cool. And number two, the end. Once Kirk gets to be captain of the ship and he's on there, and it's like that whole end sequence where everyone's playing their characters. Kirk's finally got the yellow shirt on, and he's acting, you know, like the Kirk we know. And I don't know. That just was like, oh, I was getting all excited, and I'm ready for the next film. So that elevated the film right at that moment for me as well. So anyway, that's those are my feelings.
That's Jared's good take, Earl. Communicate. Tell us what you think.
You know, I gotta say this is a very hard film to hate. I mean, you could find anybody that would like go.
But you can do it.
No. I'm not saying. I don't want to also sound like I was going into it hating it. I gotta tell you, usually I can pick out how a movie's gonna go one way or another.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like it's gonna be good or bad, but just how it's gonna go. But this one threw me for a loop because the casting is dead on. Mm-hmm. Once they said, here's, you know, I just took one look at Christopher Pine. I'm like, yeah, that's a good choice for Kirk.
Yeah.
They didn't get some wussy kid. You know,
even like, slightly better looking than a young William Shatner, I think.
A young William Shatner's got the looks. A lot of women I've talked to have said, yeah, young Shatner, he's got the looks.
All right, keep going.
I think Chris Pine's a little funny looking myself. But
yeah,
he's got a strange look.
He's
about
got a lot, he's got a lot of forehead.
Yeah, well, the one scene, this is very...
I'm like, God, look at his forehead.
But at the end of the film, when they head off to the Romulan ship and they look at each other, I'm like, good God, Chris Pine has no nose. Zachary Quentin Tarantino has, like, this huge schnauzer. It's like they could just balance each other.
They could merge their noses together.
Two
normal noses.
Yeah,
I just think Zachary Quinto has the bone structure of Spock.
He does.
Amazing.
Yep.
Leonard Nimoy not looking that good these days.
No, he's looking pretty rough.
And I think they made him look even worse than
that.
They did.
But then he was on David.
He's old. Letterman. He's an old dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
what
like
do you
102.
Want?
Yeah.
Looks like he's got marbles in his eyes.
Yeah, he does.
Marble eyes.
No, but you know what? I got to tell you, the fact that, but the things I had going against it, it's like J.J. Abrams was a crapshoot for me. Because it's like he either does something good or does something bad. I'm not one of the people that are like, J.J. Abrams did it, therefore I like it. But Orky and Kurtzman are the two worst writers in Hollywood. And like Hitler, who did a couple of good things, they actually did do an okay script. But I think J.J. Abrams...
So you're comparing them to Hitler?
Yes.
You're drawing a parallel?
Were you doing a Max Headroom impression there?
New Coke.
So.
Drink the Coke.
Anyway.
That's my love of the 80s coming into the show.
They are compared to Hitler, Shane.
Okay.
Yeah, they are compared to... They are. Because whereas Hitler killed many, they have killed many movies.
Wow. I just sometimes realize I don't even know how to respond to you.
Thank you.
I think you've made your strange, twisted point.
And also the initial reviews when they first started working out, they're like, well, we don't need to look at the show and we're just going to take the name and start from there. But now J.J. Abrams, like, you know, I had to do research for it and I ended up really liking this. And you can see it start to show through. And the fact that they took the structure of going pure good versus pure evil, which you don't get in movies anymore. Mm-hmm. You always have the good guy's not quite good and the bad guy is not quite bad. But this time, like, no, these bad guys are bad, these good guys are good. And I was worried that they were going to do the fact that all the crew had problems. But no, they're like, no, the reason why they're the crew is because they're exceptionally good at stuff. Mm-hmm. They kick ass. And all the people were ready to go and do stuff. They just needed to mature. And I thought that was a great angle to go at.
Yeah, I mean, they do give the Nero character motivation for what he's done, but obviously it's twisted, demented.
It's a little beyond reckoning. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you could say, well, I can see his point. No, it was like, yeah. Dude, like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? I think the weak point of the film were the bad guys. I think they could have, with all the creative aliens they had in it, why did they have to go, here we go, bald guys with biohazard tattoos and black trench coat?
Well, but the Romulans are an established villain. However, it is kind of odd that they have this gigantic ship that nobody's ever seen before, but it's just a mining ship.
But it's a future ship. But I mean, yeah, it worked out great, I thought. And I like that they kept that 60s flavor. That what made, you know, they managed to, they did it, they followed how they did the reboot of Doctor Who, where they said, take everything great, amplify it, get all the bad stuff, answer it. And they did that, and they hit that 60 thing right on the head.
I think what we can all agree on is they the creators of this movie understand the essence of Star Trek. Whether you were worried about if they could do it or not, at the end of the day, they did. So,
I think they learned about it, and that's why it was 6 months later, because they said, wait a minute, we can do something cool here.
So the essence of it comes out, you know, it's like doing a reduction, a red wine reduction. You get the base elements of Star Trek, and then it allows them to, you know, push it in different, but at the same time, reasonable directions that, you know, would fit in with the flavor of it.
Damn it, now I want to go to the Highland Cafe.
There we go.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that bothers me the most and nobody seems to be addressing is, I don't know if anybody realizes, but that film just wiped out the entire history of Star Trek.
Well, it's an alternate timeline.
And that's kind of what bugs me there. That's one thing I'm like, I don't want to have to say, oh, well, we like these characters. You know, it's like saying, the reason you like these characters is for all these adventures you've seen, but you have to ignore them.
See, I don't think that that's...
But they can have new adventures.
I don't think that's necessarily...
I want them to have new adventures, but I don't want them to say, well, we've totally wiped out everything. I mean, you got to think of it, because everything that happened with Kirk onward affects Next Generation, all the other shows.
I still
and
think...
they just kind of wiped all
it just,
that
it,
out.
It just... What it does, Earl, in my opinion, is that, you know, you have the established timeline. They go back. I'm drawing a picture. And now you have another established timeline that's going in parallel with it. So if they ever wanted to go back and do that stuff, I still think it's there. I just think that for the sake of this reboot, because that's really what it is, you know, you have to wipe the slate clean and push forward.
The thing is, though, people want to see them go on the adventures they had, or at least head toward it.
I don't think they want to see them go on the same adventures. They're going to go
Not on similar stuff.
What this does is it frees them from all the baggage of the last 30, 40 years, whatever, 50 years. I don't know how long it is. It allows them to go, you know what, we can take what we want from those stories if we want to, but we're not stuck saying, oh, so-and-so knows this person, and these people are aligned with these people. They don't have to stick with that, so it kind of really frees them up creatively. I mean, and I think you kind of have to do that. There's been so many stories told that there isn't a lot of room left for them to draw their own canvas or paint their own canvas, I guess.
Well, but I'm going to say on the flip side, the smart thing is that the time thing is not... It wasn't like some gigantic, epic thing that changed the entire universe. So they, in a sense, could...
It was the butterfly flapping its wings.
Yeah.
Shane, what did you think?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm shocked. I mean, Earl comes across. He's very well thought out. He says it like it is. It's hard for him to hate this movie. I really liked it. I mean, not a shocker there. But I mean, I agree with almost everything that you say. Jared, my biggest problem overall was... that sort of slapsticky business that, you know, anchored the beginning part of the movie. I didn't really like that. And I actually thought that the guy that played Bones might have overplayed it a little too much.
I disagree.
And just in my opinion, and this is coming from a guy that didn't watch it, you know, I feel like with everybody else, there were shades of the characters that they were portraying, the previous characters. With him, it was a little bit more in your face.
But that's all Bones.
Yeah,
is.
I know, and Bones, I totally understand that. And
yeah,
that's
Bones
just
who he is.
That's just a personal thing. But I still
he overreacts to everything.
Yeah,
that's why the three of them work so great. And the one thing, the other thing that bugged me is the fact that they're trying to get Spock to be so emotional, and he's got a girlfriend now. Come on.
Well, he's young too.
And even like Nimoy's Spock says, you know, be emotional, and it's like, no, dude, you need that logic side, because if you don't, you're gonna break the three, you know, Bones, Kirk, and you know, the Spock cycle.
Well, I think that as he grows older, he will understand what that is. But, you know, it's a different story, and I think that it gives his character another shade that he didn't have before. More of a chocolate shade, if you will.
Ooh.
Chocolate.
Yeah, so now the Vulcan council can say, now you got two things against you.
Yeah, two things.
Two things.
But
I think they're going to be a little more forgiving right now. There's not that many Vulcans left.
That's right. What are they going to do? There's only 9,999 of you.
Yeah, half or not. I mean, they're going to accept them.
Well, why didn't you save a bunch? You know, it's like logical. It's like, yeah, logical to save the heritage. But shouldn't you get like people young enough so you can like recreate the race as opposed to saving a bunch of old fogies?
Well, you know, those Vulcans, we don't understand their logic sometimes.
Why didn't Winona Ryder steal something halfway through that movie?
Well, she did. I don't know. She did. She took one of Zachary, or whatever his name is, one of his little ear things. He was actually only at one point on his head for half the movie.
You guys know that he can't do the Spock sign?
Is that why he didn't do it?
No, he did it at the end, but if you look, it's bad. They had to glue his fingers together.
Yeah, really?
It was
That's
pretty...
why his is like all... It like was. Somebody
looks like he's got arthritis. Yeah,
it
was pretty bad.
Yeah, it looked like somebody got thrown on. And what sucks is he had to follow Nimoy doing it.
Yeah,
you know, Nimoy's like, yo, check it out.
Even in his decrepit state, he can throw that up like there's nobody.
He can do
business.
A double. He did a double on.
I cannot do the double.
I'm doing double right now,
look
everybody.
At you too.
I can even do scissors.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah,
Jared.
I can do that. I can do
talking to the mic.
I can
lobster man.
This is great radio.
It is great. We're doing Spock symbols.
I like to pinch.
Now,
so
let me tell my story
yeah, now.
Keep going.
So yes, yeah. I think the casting was great. I think that the story was workmanlike, but it did its job, which was introducing the characters in a way that people who don't know them can enjoy them, but the people that like Star Trek can respect.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the next film when now that we know the characters, we can just get into a good story.
Yep. I totally agree with you. I have no problem with any of the casting. I don't really have any problems with some of the changes they made. I like the Captain Pike character a lot. I think
they made him
heroic.
A nice guy, didn't
they made him heroic and interesting and someone that could be respected.
And ending up in a wheelchair.
Yeah. And so, you know, overall, I think it was a great movie. I walked out of there thinking, this is this summer's Iron Man. I mean,
this summer's Dark Knight.
I think that people expected The Dark Knight to be a good movie. I think Iron Man was one of those things that was a bigger question mark. I think Star Trek was one of those things that could have gone horribly wrong, but they the creators righted the ship and took care of business. That's what I think.
Yep.
I just like all the homages to the old series that they stuck in there. I mean, you watch like young Spock doing his little education thing in their little pits or whatever, and it's like that's just like Star Trek. Three is it or four? No, four. Yeah. Where he's doing his training thing after being back alive. It's like it's just it's those little touches that are just like, you know what, this is for the fans. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. J.J. Abrams, I think, changed his mind going and making this. I think he changed through the process because interviews when they started and interviews now with him.
Well, he still says he was a Star Wars guy.
Yeah, but I think he changed because now the interviews, like the latest one, he's just like, I really love this stuff.
I think he may have even infused a little bit of Star Wars into this.
Yeah.
You know that
I was worried that it was going to be Star Wars.
It wasn't. Before we get into hashing out our review, Earl, I want to ask you one question.
Yes, sir.
The bridge, very sleek. It's often been compared to like an Apple store. But then you go and you look at the inner workings of the Enterprise. It looks more like Titanic, which they said, you know, that was our inspiration. You know, you have this facade of beauty.
Well,
and
the whole ship was always supposed to be a sea vessel in space.
So, yeah, so they made it look like that. What was your feeling on that? Did it work for you or did it need to be more?
They really didn't. You know, the old series, it was such a small set, you got to be intimate with it, so you got to learn how it worked. This one, it was just so wide, you never really got a good look at everything.
Yeah.
I looked at the toy for it, and it looked pretty lame, but it worked in the movie. I think they would have went with dark colors, but J.J. Abrams, you know, you can't do flares with dark colors. You have to have everything right.
Oh, and he's trying to portray, you know, a bright, shining future for mankind,
And I'll tell you one thing. No, I don't know if anybody's picked this up, but, I mean, Pine got the whole thing down right. When he sat in that captain's chair, he did the leg cross like Kirk did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that always bugged me because it looked like Shatner's crossing his leg like a woman crosses her legs. And, like, the guy kicks ass, duels a bunch of women, then he crosses his legs like a lady.
What are you going to do? So he's in touch with his feminine side.
They even had, if you caught it in the background, one of the girls walking with that weird clipboard thing. And it was almost intentional because Spock was like doing his usual bitchy thing. And she came through the door and they made sure you'd see her.
Yeah, there was stuff
attention.
That they threw in there.
And I like the fact that Uhura had like the you know, an updated but still that classic earpiece stuck in. Yeah. Yeah, they could have given her a headset or something like that.
No,
and they
with a nice big clunky microphone.
I heard a triple was in this, but I did not see it around Scotty somewhere by the transporter.
Oh, probably on that planet where Spock should have went and said, "Hey."
No, I think it was on the actual ship somewhere.
What was with the water tube? What the hell was that supposed to do?
It's called a plot twist. And Jared, let's do this right now. We don't have a score figured out, but we're going to crunch some numbers to try to get a score.
All right, let's give it.
Jared was telling me that when he was reviewing this movie, he started at scope score of 4, and then he would add and subtract based on the things that he saw on that show.
So he was already giving it a great rating before he even saw it.
So I think we got he gives it the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't start at 0.
I was so excited for it. I was expecting 4 stars.
It's kind of like when I give a tip, Earl, at a restaurant. I give them, I start at 20%, and then I go backwards or forwards depending upon how good my service is.
I start at 0 and just work the way up.
Well, why don't you play along with us? We'll start at 4. We'll take off and add based on what's going on. I think we need to take off a star and a half.
I'm amazed how many numbers are being pushed for digits.
I say we take a star and a half off for Kirk's swollen hands. I think we need to right away.
Okay.
That was disgusting.
We'll take that off. Yeah.
I think we need to take it off at least another 3/4 of a star because of Tyler Perry being in there.
Now, just a minute. We didn't get into the Tyler Perry angle. Medea? Where the hell was Medea?
Medea was...
I was waiting for him to do some jive move. I actually
I don't even really know who Tyler
some
Perry
jive
is. It did not bother me.
How did you know? How can you not know who Tyler Perry is?
I know the name, but I don't know him.
Medea's
haven't you ever seen Tyler Perry Presents Tyler Perry's Tyler Perry's The
no.
Something
yeah.
Something
no.
Something by Tyler Perry?
Jared's far
simple
too
answer.
That.
No.
All right.
I don't know if we add or subtract because of this, but
I give Tyler Perry a 1. Are you going to push it up to a 5?
Well, what about
you know why? Because he didn't get crazy.
What about the inclusion of the Star Trek, the first Star Trek movie uniform on Captain Pike at the end?
That was
is that a plus
that
or is that a minus of
that is a that's a plus because it's like oh
I didn't
God,
even catch that.
Yeah, he was wearing
he was
like
wearing
Kirk's
the pajamas
outfit.
From 1.
Oh,
I saw the film with the classic Ben Ellis, my pal Ben Ellis. And,
Ben Ellis, the original series.
Ben Ellis, the original series. Do you hear that, Ben? You're the original series,
He's championing the scope for MarsCon. So
he is?
We love him here.
So,
plus or minus for the pajamas?
I didn't like it in there, but the fact that they put it in there, plus.
Okay, old Spock's wrinkly face. And weird parka that he wore.
That can't be it. I like the parka. That was a wicked... You know what it reminded me of? There was one shot, and this is going to be so obscure, I'm just going to throw it out there, out of my system. He posed and did a thing. I swear to God, they were trying to pay homage to the old bomber paintings of Doc Savage.
Oh, really?
He had the Doc Savage jacket and hood, and he's in the Iceland where his headquarters are, and I'm like, that's craziness.
Okay, inclusion of Cloverfield Monster on Ice Planet in red version.
We're going to have to subtract a point and a half for that.
That's going to be 8. I'm going to have to hit it with an 8, so it's going to have to work hard to get back up.
Cameo by both Harold and Kumar.
He was the captain that got killed in the beginning, wasn't he?
No, he was just, I think it was the, which one is who? Kumar was just sitting on the bridge, and they just showed him one time, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Extra quarter point for that.
What about... appearance by the chick from Felicity and Alias.
Oh, is she the green chick?
No, she was just on. She had like a line. I forget what it was.
Yep. She just looked up from one of the.
Oh boy, this is exciting! And then
I give that a plus quarter star for a shout out. Okay, Earl, this is something we'll have to debate. In the trailers, they showed Kirk making out with Uhura.
Yes.
I was on the trailer. There are two things that bug me about the trailer. I never got around to that. One, the kid
I
saying,
"I don't think that was
what
Siberius and not Tiberius."
I think he did that to hide his identity. That's what I was thinking.
You know, I thought I was mishearing that, but
said Siberius.
I'm like, they don't even get that. I mean, it's like Michael Bay. Yeah, here you go.
No,
Transformers.
It was done intentionally.
And then, I couldn't tell in the dark, and I thought, oh, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe he was making out with that chick. But when I saw that in the trailer,
I think we need to go back and check the trailer. But I swore it was Uhura.
I did too. And then
because the chick in the trailer he was making out was not green.
I thought
No,
but I mean, it was dark, so you couldn't tell. Yeah.
I thought
and
she was wearing a white bra, which was what Uhura was wearing. This girl was wearing that sexy lingerie.
When I saw that in trailer, I'm like, I had actually forgotten about it. By the time the movie got going, I'd forgotten everything I saw in the trailer because I hadn't seen the trailer in probably a month.
If that was done intentionally, I think that's the greatest head fake.
There's also, Ben Ellis, classic Ben Ellis said, apparently.
Ben Ellis is getting in on the crunching numbers.
Yeah, I should have brought him with me. But Ben Ellis swore he
Pocket
saw
Ben Ellis.
Pocket Ben Ellis.
We're way off track now.
Ben Ellis told me that he swears he saw in the preview The Birth of Spock.
I don't recall that.
We'll have to go back and do our research, our crack research.
All right, we'll stop this trailer stuff because none of us remember a damn thing from it.
Anything else you want to crunch numbers on, Jared, positively or negatively?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so let's...
I'm going to give it a -1 because I don't like the new outfits.
You don't like the... I like the new outfits.
I wish they looked more like what the original crew was wearing in the beginning of the movie on that one ship with Kirk's dad.
See, I like the fact that they looked so close to the original ones.
I like the fact that... I hate the material. They're using that Superman Returns
like
material.
Like a Lycra sort of...
Well, if you look closely... See, the Superman Returns stuff, if you look closely, it's made up of just tiny little S's, and this had tiny little Federation things on it.
I like that.
It gives it a scary
I give
look.
It a plus half star for that.
Okay.
So what's going to be our final score? Let's hash it out.
Okay.
I say 3.5.
Shane?
Yeah.
We might as well be gay lovers because I was going to get the same score.
Earl? What if your voice counted in terms of the actual scope score, what would you have given it?
It should count because I'm here and I'm replacing one Adam 12.
Okay. Well, what would you have given it?
I'm going to blow you away. I'm going to say a 4.
A 4?
4? That's a perfect score.
Of course, when Adam's not here, we always give things that are 4. Always.
I'm giving it a 4 because they went back, because they did classic filmmaking, good storytelling.
There's no negatives at all to this film. Not one
little
there's
some negative, but you know
then
what?
You got to deduct. You got to take down. You got to take it down a quarter
point. But it's the sum of the parts so good that it blows it away.
Okay.
No film is perfect, is it?
All right, I'll go 3.5 then.
Wow.
But I mean, I really liked it.
I was close to 3.75. I'm just going to tell you that.
The things that bother me are things that you're just going to have to wait and see in future films.
I was at 3 or 3.25 until that last scene, and it's like, the overwhelming feeling I had at that point was like,
I like the part where they all kind of sitting on a bit talking about what to do before, you know, just before they come up with the final battle plan. But Jesus, when that Enterprise came out of the warp and just started wasting away on everything, I'm like, yeah, take that,
There we go. So give it a scope score, Jared, and let's move on.
The scope score is 3.5 stars.
That's a very good score.
It is.
It's not perfect, so in your face, critics.
Now, a couple of fun stories for you. Every time this film has played at the theater, a loud round of applause. I don't mean like a few people clapping. It's gotten like a louder round of applause than I've heard for any film.
That's
nobody clapped at our theater.
No, they're all too tired.
Everybody, every show. I've worked through 4 shows. I mean, granted, the thing just came out. Every show, round of applause.
Wow.
Now, here's something to come up, and this will be something to watch for the future nerd trek. The Kirk-Picard debate may be dead because one customer came out and said, you know what I think you're going to start seeing? I think you're going to see new Spock versus old Spock fights.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Spock versus Spock.
Yeah, Spock. And I'm like, how can you argue Nimoy?
You can't argue it. Nimoy is you.
Is Spock.
He's got the body of work right now.
He does. Absolutely. Well, I think one more thing, Earl. We're running out of time.
Oh, geez.
So just hit me with one more, and then we're going to move on.
Unlike any other film I've seen, people will sit and talk about this film the second it's over. We have to push them out of the theater so we can clear
it. Or they'll go and podcast about it.
Or they go on podcast. Well, that's because we're better than them.
Right.
Well, let's wrap up this Nerd Roundtable. We've got a lot more show left. The third part coming up right after this.
Tyler Perry.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Wow, a little slow intro there. A little 90s throwback here. This is, once again, coming from my South by Southwest playlist. It's Third Eye Blind with Non-Dairy Creamer.
They call it KFC, because it's not really chicken hot Cheetos. For breakfast, make a young student sicken. Did you ever think someone's tricking you? And the guy in the pulpit is a bigot and a lousome kid. Walks into my school and opens fire. Heard any good jokes lately? Cause we sure do need them. My punk band's called Operation Iraqi Freedom. So what's it gonna be? Are you real to me? Or are you non-dairy creamer? The new love is burning up in me. Cause 1 in 4 American girls has an STD. And you can buy yourself some implants, but you can't buy soul threat level launch. With your chest puffed up, what are you so just a couple of queens. How did they do it? I'm telling you now. They brought merits to an end. And I found myself some culprits. It's too young, gay. We're from the gay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope. You know, I noticed that Tony sounded a little bit drunk in that delivery.
I think he was sick during that portion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope. He also is going to give us the news. Adam is not here to collect and deliver the news, so I will be taking over in his place, or in his stead. Is that what they say?
Stead.
I've got three stories. Let's start them off right now.
Any of them about Tyler Perry?
No Tyler Perry. Earl, here's a question that Yahoo News is trying to answer. Sleeping and eating, who does it best?
Sleeping and eating?
Yeah.
Who are we talking, men or women?
People. Who do it best? According to
do we have choices?
According to our friends from Reuters,
Lee Majors,
Dateline Paris,
and Tyler Perry,
true to their reputation as leisure-loving gourmets, the French Earl spend more time sleeping and eating than anyone else among the world's wealthy nations.
You should ask me
nations.
Which nationality.
Okay,
I didn't know I was supposed to be a racist.
So, poor setup.
If you were a guessing man, Earl, how many hours a night do you think the average French person sleeps?
12.
Jared?
14 and a half.
The average French person sleeps almost 9 hours every night, more than an hour longer than the average Japanese and Korean, who sleep the least in a survey of 18 members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So the OECD...
How much of my tax dollars went to this crap?
Well, I think this is probably a world organization.
Yeah.
Despite their siesta habit, Earl, Spaniards rank only third in the poll after
Americans.
Those
lazy Mexicans? You're kidding me.
Americans sleep more than 8.5 hours a night. That shocks me.
I thought we were down. I thought the problem was
Mexicans.
I'm usually at about 5.
I'm kidding people.
I picked this story for our chance to be racist, really.
That's what I said. You didn't ask me to be racist when I was asking.
I know. So, while more French people grab a bite at fast food chains these days or wolf down a sandwich at their desk, they still spend more than 2 hours a day eating. Or if you're watching my child eat, it's 14, because she can stretch out a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for about 2.5 hours.
No kidding.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Maybe you need to cook it.
That means their meals are twice as long as those of the average Mexican, who dedicates just over an hour a day to food. The Japanese, scrimping on sleep and burdened with long commutes and working hours, still manage to spend close to 2 hours a day eating and drinking, placing them third behind New Zealanders. New Zealanders known across the world for taking a long time to eat.
I got
They're
a friend
slow chewers.
From New Zealand, yep. And he eats slower. I must be from New Zealand. I mean, I know I eat slow.
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
That's
land.
That's Australian.
What about those crazy Turks, Jared?
What about them?
They spend more.
They're giant cats, is what I hear.
They spend more. So it was a very, very good inside joke. They spend more than a third of their leisure time entertaining friends.
I thought I was making really bad Hollywood ripoffs.
Probably.
Moving
on.
Wow. All right. What's the next story?
Italian men have nearly 80 minutes a day of leisure more than women.
I thought Italian men spent that 80 minutes flicking their hair back.
Yep. Combing their mustaches and eating a lot of pasta.
All right, move on to the
drinking,
next story.
This is drinking espresso.
This is crazy.
It's just crazy talk. These stories are crazy.
Why don't you talk about the snake and the broccoli? That's what I want to know.
Just call her Dr. Dolly.
What?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Award-winning entertainer, businesswoman, and education advocate Dolly Parton has a new title. She says, just think, I'm Dr. Dolly. She said Friday after receiving an honorary doctorate of humane and musical letters from the University of Texas at Knoxville.
Okay. Does this mean that movie Straight Talk is going to come true?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hmm. As I call her, or as I say, she's getting her Ph. Double D's.
Dun, dun, da, da. You know what you need? You need the Price is Right failure sound right now.
The audience of a little over 1,000 new graduates from the College of Arts and Sciences roared with laughter as she said something about Double D. Dolly Parton's a Tennessee native who is the fourth of 12 children, Earl.
Wow.
And she started she started a movie, 9 to 5, right?
That's so funny.
Who are the other two women in that movie, Earl?
That would be Jane Fonda.
Yep, that's one.
And Lily Tomlin.
And who was the main lead character?
Dabney Coleman!
And what appliance did they plug him into or attach him to keep him from getting
garage
into trouble?
Door.
Thank you very much.
And wait, I don't get that. I got everything right.
God, I love that.
Now, wait a minute, though. What TV show spinoff did Dabney Coleman have? Well, it wasn't a spinoff, but what TV show did he get due to being in 9 to 5?
Oh, what was the name of that show?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
I knew I had it. I just had to find it.
That's the greatest sound ever.
I think I told you years ago to find that son of a bitch.
Yeah. I need to have that in my database.
You also need the Yolele Who Yodeling song for the mountain climbers.
I like that one, too. Final story. Van Halen.
Now, that was warranted.
Van Halen confirmed for Guitar Hero.
There's like 8 Guitar Hero games coming out.
I'm gonna break it down for you, Earl.
All right.
Break it down.
Activision Blizzard is releasing 3 new musical-based video games this year. DJ Hero, Guitar Hero 5, and Band Hero. And they've also confirmed Guitar Hero Van Halen is on tap. The company provided few details on any of the games. DJ Hero, which previously was confirmed, still doesn't have a full set list in place, but the company just released new details about the controller. It will be a single turntable device with 3 colored buttons. Similar,
there's more to it than that.
Similar to the 5 fretted buttons featured on Guitar Hero. This Band Hero game is positioned as a more family-oriented version of Guitar Hero, more than likely to take on the Lego Rock Band that's coming out.
Lego Rock Band?
Yep. Yes, this Band Hero focuses on top 40 hits, while Guitar Hero 5, expected to be similar to all previous installments, but with the ability to drop in and out of songs and change band members.
That's a good idea.
Instruments and difficulty levels on the fly. The company confirmed the development of Guitar Hero Van Halen to a video game blog joystick, scheduled to release in the second half of the year, with special guest artists on there such as Queen, Weezer, Blink-182, The Offspring, and Queens of the Stone Age.
I would like.
I've heard that it will be a David Lee Roth version, not a Van Hagar version.
Wow.
I would like to see the Queen version of it, and I'd like to see somebody do the drums on Flash Gordon.
I would like to see Queen in Rock Band. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't have an amen.
I'm waiting for Guar.
Guar, you think would pop up in some of these games?
The Guar should, because that's like some heavy duty music to try to play, man.
I'm excited for Beatles Rock Band myself.
Beatles Rock Band.
I won't be buying any of those fancy pants guitars. No. Even though they look pretty cool.
Maybe we can win that copy for Media Junkyard.
There you go. What about
Earl? Knowing who Media Junkyard is.
Christian Rock.
Christian Rock.
Striper.
No Striper.
What about
Michael W.
Smith? Guitar Hero Striper.
Guitar Hero Striper Edition.
What do you think about the DJ game war? DJ Hero versus Scratch the Ultimate DJ. Any opinion on that, Shane?
I have no opinion on it other than it seems like it's yet another big chunk of money to drop.
It sounds like jumping the shark to me.
It might be.
No,
what
I don't
do you
know.
Think, Jared?
This is the opinions that I've read is that DJ Hero seems to be spreading their playlist out across a lot of different genres to kind of capture a lot of things, whereas Scratch the Ultimate DJ is focusing squarely on hip-hop and R&B tracks. So I think it might be better for that
reason. Would you buy that game if you liked it?
I'd have to see the reviews and see how it plays. I don't know. It could be fun.
Nice augmentation to our Rock Band parties.
I guess. It's not more of a solitary game, though. So
That's a problem. One strike again. Let's crunch some numbers.
I'm still waiting for Oboe Hero.
Oboe Hero. And with that...
See, now I just have an excuse to make bad jokes. So I can
the news
that.
Is over.
Normally,
Earl, the news is followed by reviews, but we've done
review?
That already. So
you
we're going to go
no
on to,
TV show to
coming soon, Jared.
Who's going to read this?
I'm going to read it, since it's
right. I never get to
unless,
read
do you want to read this, Jared?
I'll read it.
Okay, Jared.
Jared is now
up.
Crossing the room to grab the paper. He's got the paper. He's heading back. And oh, it's a touchdown. But he's still sitting down. He doesn't have it.
The transfer of power.
Transfer of power. I don't know what's coming up. Jared does. Jared,
coming
spill
soon.
The beans.
We've got music the week of May 12th, or the day of May 12th. Better Than Ezra with Paper Empire. They have another album coming out?
They do have another album coming out.
Okay. The Crystal Method divided by night. Are you still into the Crystal Method at all?
No, I like Better Than Ezra better than the Crystal Method.
Okay, and the Meat Puppets sewn together. I haven't bought a Meat Puppets CD since, well, the 90s. And the same week, on Friday, May 15th, we have Green Day's new album, 21st Century Breakdown.
Going to put it on alert right now. Yeah. That will be the album, the thing we'll be reviewing for the next show.
I'm pretty excited.
Guaranteed.
I've not heard the new song.
It's
but,
good.
But I'm excited for the album.
Rolling Stone gave it a 4.5-star review.
Ooh. Out of how many? Five?
Five, I believe. Mm. And they said it is better than American Idiot.
That's impressive.
I believe, which is impressive.
Coming out the next week on May 19th, Tori Amos with Abnormally Attracted to Sin. Eminem. With Relapse. I'm not sure if I like his new song.
I've listened to it
a couple times, but it's like, I don't know. Karate High School, an album called Invaders.
I just picked that because I like the name of the band.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a great name for a band. I bet their music.
I always pull out one band that's just I've never heard of, but I love the name, and that's a good thing to do.
And Lionel Richie's back on the scene with Just Go. What is this?
Yeah, you just listed three bands that I'm like, okay, they're done. They're
what's
not
the deal with
back.
Lionel Richie?
Well, I knew that Earl was a humongous fan ever since... Ever since the Hello video where, you know, the blind woman was sculpting his face,
yep.
Which actually looks more like Earl than it does Lionel Richie.
I was the stand-in for that at the time.
That's actually Earl's head right there.
It is. They put a Jerry wig on me and a mustache.
I thought it looked familiar.
But they did go, that's why when you guys saw me when we first started wearing tour, you're like, God, where do I know you from? I'm like, hello.
His wife's nickname for him is Penny Lover.
Yep.
On to Motion Pictures. May 15th,
yes.
Angels and Demons, the latest from the Dan Brown book.
The prequel.
Starring Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed because the trailers make it look like gargoyles are going to come to life and kill everyone.
I would like to see a gargoyles movie
coming to
life.
I hear that this film is potentially saving the publisher that Dan Brown is on because they're having a lot of trouble. But this film coming out has rekindled interest in his books, and that's sparking sales.
And he's got a new book coming out as well, which... going to be humongous. Uh-oh, my phone's ringing.
The following week, May 22nd, actually opening on the 21st, you've got Terminator Salvation.
Yay!
Dance Flick.
Finally.
Hello, Carrie. How are you doing?
Are you almost done?
We're almost done.
Okay.
I got you on the air right now.
Turn it around on the front of the phone. No, the front of the microphone chain where your mouth is.
Oh, sorry. Carrie, go ahead, talk.
Is it off?
Can you hear us? Go ahead. We'll be home soon, all right? Oh, wait. All right. We'll do. Bye-bye.
Once again, great radio.
Great radio, everybody. Shane doesn't understand how microphones work.
What is Dance Flick all about?
Dance Flick is kind of a takeoff on Say the Last Dance. It's more like scary movie type.
All thing. I need to know. Night of the Museum. Battle of the Smithsonian comes out also.
Yay!
And that's Memorial Day weekend. Are you excited for that, Earl?
What? Hell yeah. I love the first one.
Never saw it.
Wait, what happened with you? You liked it?
I liked it, but I'm not sure if I want to see a sequel.
I do, because Darth Vader's in it.
And Grouch
is in it.
All right.
And they team up to deal with...
If I see that before I see Wolverine, then that's wrong.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to see Wolverine, but I got to wait for the wife.
Yeah. Okay, Wolverine! Keep going, Jared.
DVDs, May 12th. We've got the best of Star Trek The Next Generation. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
How are they going to pull that up?
The Dana Carvey Show, the complete series, and 2.5 Men, Season 5. Sounds like
it's a great week.
Bunch of winners. All television.
It's a great week.
Following week, May 19th, Billy Jack. Is that for Earl?
Billy Jack, another one?
Another one.
I don't know. Two of them.
Fanboys, yes.
I want to see that so bad.
Is that the one with the Star Wars?
Yes,
one?
Yep.
Okay. They played for about one show at Blackie.
Yep, I want to see that. Friday Night Lights, Season 3 already?
Cool. Yep, cheap, under $20.
That's good, that's good. Valkyrie. Oh, with Tom Cruise, I want to see that.
Oh, God, I've forgotten all about that film.
My Bloody Valentine 3D 2-disc special edition.
Now, if I
would
have been reading that, you could have done a Tom Cruise sound effect.
Off him.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
You happy now? Paul Blart Mall Cop. Wait, what's with the My Bloody Valentine? Let's go back there. What's up with that?
It's in 3D, I'll get it. If it's not,
I'm not. In 3D.
I'll get it, because the movie is a dynamite 3D movie. Would you turn that damn thing off?
Boy, people are after me. Jeez.
Who's after you now?
It's my wife, I guess. Come on, let's hurry it up.
That's Valkyrie. Paul Blart Mall Cop. Saturday morning cartoons of the 1960s and of the 1970s.
What's the 60s and 70s cartoon thing?
I don't know. Just, I think like Hanna-Barbera stuff.
I'll check that out. If they got like the original.
I put that in there for you. Sometimes I customize these lists for you.
I appreciate it, and I feel the love.
Good.
Shane, we've got video games coming out too.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Week of May 10th, Battle Stations Pacific for Xbox 360 and PC. Could be interesting. I don't know. Pirates versus Ninja Dodgeball on the Wii. I don't really get into the whole Pirates versus Ninja battle.
A little corny.
Following week of May 17th, UFC 2009 Undisputed for Xbox 360 and PS3. Bionic Commando for Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yep.
Punch Out for Wii U. I'm hearing good things about that.
That's a long-awaited
hearing good things.
Redo.
What is it?
Punch Out for the Wii.
Oh, Punch Out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a very faithful.
Bald Bull is there.
But is that Tyson?
Piston Honda.
Tyson is not in it. Tyson
what about Soto Popinski?
Of course.
There's a new guy, too, who just blends in really well.
Jared's talking so fast because he's scared for my life.
I don't want you to die. We've got Terminator Salvation has a game coming out for a bunch of platforms. Boombox Bash Party for Wii.
I love Boombox.
Boombox.
What is that?
It's a great game for the Wii.
Puzzle?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And EA Sports Active for the Wii.
Very good stuff. So you can get fit right on that Wii in another different way.
There you go. That's it. That's your coming soon for the next 2 weeks, Shane.
Well, I'm going to let you close it out then.
Okay.
Under the scope.
What happens in this blockchain?
You read a letter.
This is where you normally shine, but since you kicked it out old school in the previous segment, this is to me be a continuation of your shining.
Shane, I'll tell you after the show's over how much I'm going to have to shine.
I don't know what that means.
Secret thing. Right. We got some comments that came in on the
blogosphere?
The email over the blog. Somewhere were dropped into my mail without stamps. Very odd.
Wow, scary.
Jack in Connecticut writes and says, "Everyone gives Adam crap for being so negative. Without Adam, every review would be 4 stars, except girlfriends. That's always true. A surprise.
And Star Trek.
Yeah, it's always true. It's all." It's always a surprise if Adam actually shows up, but he really brings something to the show.
Okay, what's this guy's name?
This is Jack.
Jack, I'm gonna break it down. I'm gonna break the fourth wall for you real fast here. I'm only gonna say it one time. Adam, it's a bit. We love Adam. We wouldn't want to do the show without him, except the every 18 week when he's here. We get it.
And I'm now closing that clip so I don't play it again.
It's part of the bit. Jack?
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
It's all in good fun.
Bros before host.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Mike also writes in, "Can I get a drip drip? I love it. Another great show. As a loyal listener, I think I speak for all 5 of us in requesting a Transformers 2 debate starring Earl."
Hey! Thank you.
That's what Mike says. He says, "Keep up the semi-okay
You gotta see the Transformers 2, Earl, to be a part of that debate, though.
Oh, there might be more spiel, but we're working on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you really? Is there actually progress, or is it just lip service?
There's ideas being thrown around, but with John moving and not... Yeah, you know,
you better hurry it up. You've got 2 months.
I know. Oh, God, we put the thing together in like less than a month.
All right. Well, that means you got a month to get it out there. Jared, what else?
You got any comments? That's it for comments. So if you have comments, you can write into the comments at thescopeshow.com. Comment at the website at thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line 646-495-9201, extension 70055. We're not getting a lot of voicemail, so...
No.
People should try that. It's fun. You get to hear your voice on the air.
Pretty exciting stuff is what it is.
Ah, that's why they're not doing it.
You can also join our Facebook fan page where you can get all kinds of wonderful updates.
Keep doing it. We're trying really hard to keep that going.
Yeah.
Keep it current. Keep it fun.
Exactly.
Keep it fresh.
That is it for the comments, Shane.
All right. So let's break it down right now. Earl, great having you.
Thank you for having me.
You surprised me. I am shocked.
What are you shocked?
I'm speechless. I figured that Star Trek was going to be a train wreck for you. You loved it.
I'm always honest when it comes to the movie.
Not that I would be personally offended that you wouldn't like it. You just blew my mind. I love it when you blow my mind.
I blow your mind, man.
I love it. That's all I'm going to say. Jared, you did a great job.
Thanks.
Did a great job today.
I feel I did a
terrific job as well. Sorry about the news selection, but they all can't be winners.
Yeah, you should have said the snake and the broccoli.
I should have. So, for everybody here...
Oops, I hit that a little early.
Go ahead. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on episode 73 of The Scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Annyeong. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.